Hi, the name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership, where I chew the fat with guests from many walks of life. Yep, I ponder the big questions, and we play around with some less significant ones too. I sometimes unpick the practice of leadership, delving into what it means to many. We laugh and we explore what it is to live with purpose and meaning. I hope you find the chat as useful as I have having it. Life, purpose, leadership. Jack Zenger and Joseph Faulkman, in their book, The Three Elements of Trust, suggest to be effective, leaders need their team's trust. Yeah, sure, we know this. But how do we get that trust? And crucially, how do you get it back if you've lost it? In this episode, Kate Fletcher and I explore these very questions and expand on the three behaviours which the authors suggest are essential, namely positive relationships, expertise and judgment, and finally, consistency. We argue you don't need to be perfect at the behaviours to be trusted as a leader, but you do need to be good at them. Hello, Kate Fletcher.
Hello, Dion Neubronner.
We speak again on this glorious sunny day here in London town. As glorious as the weather might be, I suggest our listeners don't really want to hear a conversation about the weather. So I was wondering, what were you thinking about this morning? And what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I think as we chat about what we do and who we're talking to, I'm certainly finding loads of people saying to me, help, or not necessarily saying help, because that takes a degree of honesty actually and recognition, but in this world of semi-chaos of trying to ride a wild horse bareback and stay on and go in the direction you want to go, so you kind of know where you're going and you've got people with you, but it's really tough and there's a lot of uncertainty and all sorts of things happening.
I think there's also a lot of overwhelm with the overwhelm.
Yes, agree. Well, usually I think when there's a lot of change, and let's face it, we've probably been through about 10 years of change in about 9 months, and there's some constant, isn't there? There's something that we hold on to go, oh, right, that's stable and secure. So I know that. And then this other stuff I'm dealing with, I'm less familiar with, but I've got this, which is a constant. But I think what's different now is that everything is changing and there's no constant. And what does that mean for us as a leader? You know, what do you orientate back to? And how do you juggle all these, you know, often conflicting priorities and challenges?
And what about in relation to the constant change? Is I might be changing.
Yes.
I myself, my views, what I want from this life, what I want from this business, what I want from myself. I might be exploring the who am I question.
Yeah, very much so.
That in itself has an impact on my performance level, my desire to find solutions or to help others.
Absolutely. And I think when you look back at the last year to 18 months, you know, our lives have been massively impacted. And I think there's a lot of people going, well, who am I? But also, where am I going? And what do I want? And lots of people reevaluating all of that. And I think that in part is why it's so difficult trying to get your arms around what does hybrid working look like, for example. So if you're a CEO of an organization and, you know, you're trying to decide with your leadership team, what boundaries do we set here? What guardrails do we set? How do we be flexible, but also create, you know, some expectations around what we need in order to deliver the business and grow the business? We know we're social beings. We know we want to come together. But what does that mean when everybody's grappling with their own change, internal change and external change too? And I think probably that's what's in part driving this feeling of being overwhelmed. I mean, there are many other factors as well, but that's one internal, external one, I would suggest.
I'm quite taken by the phrase the hybrid working, only because just this morning, actually, I was commenting on a post on social media. The post was about hybrid working, and I hear the argument for it and against it. I made a suggestion, and that was simply hybrid working isn't the thing. It's about just flexible working. And I think in time, that's going to be not even a thing in time. Because I think as one thing this pandemic-y thing has shown us is, amongst other things, and this is an obvious thing, is life is short, right? And we know that. But I think we've been faced with it quite significantly in the last 18 months. People have different value systems now. People have different priorities. And even me, who runs a business, has a different priority. I don't want to wait to a certain age or a certain time for the stuff of life that I want to do. I want to do it now.
Yes.
I want to do it now, but I also want to run a business. I want to run a successful business.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think that in time, this thing called flexibility, where you can work from wherever you want to be and you can contribute and bring value, is not going to become a thing anymore. It's going to just be the way that we do things around here.
And what's at the heart of that, though? I don't disagree with you at all, but there's like an abyss, I suppose, between where we are now and that utopia. And it's how do we create a path through? So what are the things that need to happen to enable that to happen?
The second part of that question, what are the things that need to happen in order for it to happen, I think are far more difficult than the first question, which is what is at the heart of that? Because I think what is at the heart of it is individual choice.
Yes.
And it comes back to the stuff that I bang on about purpose and who am I and story and meaning in life and all of that stuff. But essentially, it's about individual choice.
I think it is. And that's why you're seeing people feeling overwhelmed, because they're grappling with really who they are. Values may have evolved a little. I think identity, who am I, and also where am I going? You know, the future, what do I want? These factors are what I think a lot of people are wrestling with, you know, set against the backdrop of traditional structures, whether that's in a corporate environment or in a more entrepreneurial environment. Actually, for me, one of the main paths from one to the other is trust. It's trust and psychological safety, because actually, if there was trust, you know, as a CEO, if you could trust that your team absolutely were going to do what you expected them to do and that you'd agreed they were going to do, I think you'd be a lot more relaxed probably about where they were and what time of day they were fulfilling that. But I think what we're going through is a transition out of the sort of remnants of command and control into much more of an empowering, flexible.
Which is exactly what I mean about individual choice. Because if I feel like I have individual choice about where I work and what time I start work and what the nature of that work is aligned to the expectations that we have agreed, it means that you trust me.
Well, that's a big leap, isn't it?
It is. It is. Individual choice comes out of trust.
Yeah, it does.
I wrote something down whilst you were speaking there, and I was thinking to myself, one of the overwhelm bits is around, what are my choices? If I have this individual choice, if I have the ability to choose how I want to work and when I want to work, what is available to me and who and how do I want to work? And what does that mean for me as an individual? But what does that mean for us as a team too? Yeah, I just think there's a very different way of thinking and being that needs to happen in order for there to be trust, but in order for there to be a flexible way, us working together.
I think there's differences in different environments that you look at. So if you look at a corporate setting, you know, you've got, and particularly in a global organization where you've got a rhythm to how things get done, there's some core processes and system, there's some core governance, there's a global meeting structure that connects together where communication flows. In that sort of environment, it gets much more challenging to balance the needs of the of the organization with the flexibility and the choice and the freedom of that choice. You've got a real challenge where you've got some metrics. And this is what I mean about the transition. I think there's some metrics which are probably largely financial. Hopefully there's some other bits these days. And with the kind of growth of B Corps, you've got a much more of a focus around people and engagement and talent development and retention. And then also around community and planet and the environment in which we operate in. So I think the metrics are broadening, which is great and healthy. But then you've got arguably old-fashioned systems in some instances and some traditional KPIs, and then people who are battling with, I want choice, I don't want to do it like this, I want to do it a different way. But when you've got thousands or tens of thousands of people or hundreds of thousands of people in a system, that's massive, trying to evolve through that. And then you overlay cultural expectations on that as well. And you've got different cultures valuing different things, not necessarily this all culturally driven, but you've got value systems, cultural influences.
That reminds me of a particular conversation I had with a group of people last week, actually, with the online program that I do. One of the things that people found difficult with the work that we do, i.e. telling my story, being vulnerable, albeit that I hate that phrase, just being myself, was they worked in an organization where competition was the name of the game.
Yeah.
And there was no balancing out that competition with anything like collaboration or cooperation. It was all about me and how I need to get ahead and what I need to do in order to get ahead, without any consideration of the collective. The trust thing is the bedrock.
You know, and it goes both ways, isn't it? It's not just trust from a CEO or a senior team down through the organization. It's trust the other way too. You still look at, every time I look at the Gallup engagement measures, I still get horrified that, you know, only 20, something like 21% of UK employees are engaged. And I just find that horrifying, actually.
In this day and age, I think that's really strange. I guess I think it's strange because of the organizations I generally work with. There is an appetite for it.
You have your own business and you have that freedom. You've made that choice. Some people, yes, or a lot of people are still within a bigger organization. And, you know, going back to your earlier point about how do we know what choices we have? I think that, I had an early morning coaching call this morning with a lady in a corporate, and she's going through exactly that, going, I'm not happy here. This isn't right. But I don't know what else I can do, you know. And this is someone who's really senior, highly credible, very talented. And, I have to remind myself sometimes, gosh, you know, actually you have a lack of confidence often when you're in these, when you're a cog in a wheel, however big a cog you are, you're in a system. So actually, if you break out of that system, it feels like a very brave, courageous thing to do. And also, before you do that, well, how do I work out what are my strengths? What am I good at? What is it I want? What does that look like?
Come to Kate Fletcher.
But actually, I suspect that will discourage the vast majority of people from making that kind of a call, because actually, I'm in a system. It's kind of comfortable. I don't really like it. I'm good at what I do. I'm valued by those around me. I'm paid well. I've got the security, got children in private education. I've got, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So actually, it becomes an even bigger call then to step outside of that. Wouldn't surprise me if that was connected very much to the 80% of people who are, you know, disengaged in their working life. But the feeling of overwhelmed is interesting, and I suspect people are overwhelmed with being overwhelmed because there's so many different factors. And of course, you know, you try and plot this together and it would be a very intricate kind of spider's web, actually, of what's causing this and what's causing that, and which bits are connected, and therefore you know, who am I, where am I, and what is it that I need to think about and do differently?
But that question in itself, the who am I, is so huge.
I think those questions are often, you know, the who, the why, they're far too big to ask ourselves as one question. Everything that we are familiar with is changing, then we're naturally going to change ourselves. So the whole thing is moving.
Who am I is the output of that is like some sort of some solid me. There isn't a solid me. It's who do I want to be? Who do I want to be in this moment, in this meeting? Who do I want to be in that one-to-one with those, with my senior team? Who do I want to be in that presentation that I do with the board? Who do I want to be with my wife or my partner at home? Who do I want to be with my children? And I think the answer to all those questions is different in those different circumstances.
I think it's being adaptable, actually, which, you know, if you look at a definition of a shapeshifter, it's someone who's adaptable. And I would classify myself as that a little bit. You know, I'm adaptable and I take who I am, which is sort of, you know, evolving all of the time. But my values are pretty constant. They evolve, but they're not fundamentally different. And my strengths are evolving, but I take that and I apply it to different situations. Who am I is different, if that's your point.
And I think what we do is we get a rigid mindset.
So for me, then it's about letting go, because actually, you know, to take your point and exaggerate it massively, that's like saying I'm going to be the micromanager of my life. I need to know every bit of everything and control it and manage it, and actually that's going to lead to total sense of overwhelm, being overwhelmed, because you can't. And actually what's happened over the last year is sort of meant that if you're a micromanager, it's just, you're going to keel over, frankly, because there's just no way you can successfully be a micromanager anymore. So some of the interesting conversations I have right now with founders and entrepreneurs who created, they had a powerful vision for their business and they've been hugely successful. They've come out the other side of COVID and lockdowns and what was crisis management, back into visionary leadership and more of building more of a coaching style. But actually at the heart, there's a bit of them, because they're a founder and they care and it's their baby, there's a micromanager. So if someone doesn't quite do what they should do, they're right in there. Mm-hmm. And actually that's just not going to cut it anymore. With the sort of challenge around finding great talent, when you've got great talent, what you can't be doing is diving underneath them just to double check they've done X, Y, Z.
Well, yeah, because you undermine them.
So it is really coming to a head, I think, around the style of leadership we deploy and how we develop our leadership capability, so that we don't do that, even on a bad day, occasionally.
Which comes back to my choices point, my individual choice point, I think. My style of leadership is about individual choices. How do I want to be in these different circumstances?
I feel from the conversation that actually what we're saying is the notion of a shapeshifter. So they're clear who they are, but they adapt to the environment that they're in.
9 times out of 10, I would suggest that I know I am that. Yeah. And because I have adapted, I know that. So therefore I would embrace shapeshifter coat. I'd wear it with pride.
But I think that's all we're saying here is, you know, being clear on our values, being clear to a degree who we are. We're not going to have a definitive answer to that. We're going to have a sense of who we are, and what we're great at, and where we should focus. And actually what we're saying is it's about being flexible and adapting ourselves to the environment that we're in, because the environment is changing constantly. So with that ambiguity and that volatility and to a degree the complexity that we're in, it's about looking at ourselves and being able to plug into different groups, situations, environments, people.
I think you're 100% correct. But there's another dimension, I think. And I think we're kind of running out of time here, but I'll say it anyway. And I think the other dimension is we still want to see results. So in terms of the shapeshifter or the adaptability and the flexibility and the decision-making and the building of trust, all that we've just been talking about, accountability and credibility, feeling overwhelmed, we still want to get results. And if that which we are doing, adapting, and we're making different decisions, we're doing things differently, if that which we're doing doesn't still produce the results, we still fall back to this overwhelm. I'm using the word we here, even though I'm referring to myself in this context.
Surely, Dion, that comes down to the definition of what the results are.
Yes, of course we need to redefine the results. But part of that adaptation is redefining the results.
There's a disconnect here in what you're describing for yourself. I would then look at, right, what are the results we're valuing then? What are the results we're measuring?
A sale?
Okay.
When the results are baseline results, in other words, a simple sale, one can get into a state of overwhelm, not being able to see the wood for the trees, not being able to clearly make the right decisions or the decisions that allow us to redefine the results or get the results that we believe are necessary.
Yeah, and there may be steps along the way to getting that big sale.
Absolutely. This has been a very interesting conversation. I mean, a fantastic conversation. I think we've been around the houses quite a bit, don't you?
I think we have. I think we've covered a lot of ground. So we're covering a lot of topics here, and they are all interconnected, aren't they?
They very much are. Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed talking to you, Kate Fletcher, this morning. Thank you very much.
Been a wonderful start to my week, Dion. I feel definitely tuned in for the week now.
We are definitely going to have more of these conversations. So that's it. The name's Neubronner, Dion Neubronner. You're listening to my podcast, Life, Purpose, Leadership.